Blog Talk Radio.
Strap on your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're about to go on a journey. It's First Contact Radio with Joshua Poet.
All right, Dirk, thank you very much. This is Josh, First Poet. FirstContactRadio.com is the place you can go to hear and find all the links to the stories that we do each and every episode. So let's jump into things at the beginning of this new month, September 2nd, moving right along in this year, 2019. First story here is, says, role players needed for military training, 6-17 September 2019. No experience needed. E9 needs you. We are a service-disabled, veteran-owned, and operated small business that prioritizes in getting the community involved in the training of America's military and first responders. We are headed to the New York State Preparedness Training Center to train the Army and Air Force National Guard, first responders, and emergency management in order to get our men and women in uniform the training they need. We will need your help as a casualty role player. It is like being an extra in a zombie movie. It is a great end-of-summer gig and really like to see military veterans, reservists, former off-duty, first responders, students, home for the summer, community leaders, and those who support our men and women in uniform to come out. As a role player, the gig is a fun day of supporting and playing with your military. What role players do is get injury makeup from our professional moulage makeup artist. You will then act out the injury you are assigned and get rescued by service members. Easy, lots of fun, and very unique experience of supporting the military, making some cash, eating some free food, and hopefully making a friend or two. It's very simple. Just submit your information and show up with form of government issued ID. Ensure you are wearing comfortable clothes with gym shoes, gym shock, compressions, spandex, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then they're going to set you up in the outfit that they want you in, and you make up and so on. Now, there's nothing particularly nefarious about these type of things. There always has to be some sort of practice and preparation in the same way a sports team goes through its practice during the week to prepare. Military and professionals, police, firemen, all service professionals and helping agencies of that nature need to practice as well. You know, they're not just winging it when these things happen. That's why they're able to be so efficient. So these type of drills are important. The challenge is when these drills occur and there are some nefarious intentions put in there, not necessarily by those involved in the actual planning of it, but maybe someone on the outside who's going to implement something in there, maybe some sort of an agenda, maybe filming an aspect of it and later on showing you that this is the real deal, it's really going on. That's why when we see events that take place, there's often questions about, did this really happen? It looks like fake blood. It looks like these could be crisis actors. It's because it's true. That's what goes on. And the media goes out there and they film these things and then play them off as being real. If we had a media that was not so nefarious themselves, they were more honest and truthful, we would actually find that we would understand that these things are necessary, and we wouldn't have the blurred lines blurred between when it's happening and when it isn't. Okay? You know, I recall from the 7/7 bombings years ago, there was a interview with one of the men who was down there and part of this drill, and he said that they were there for the drill on what would happen if there was a bomb that went off in the train tunnels there. And during the course of their drill, a bomb did go off. And he said that really threw everybody into a complete set of confusion because they didn't know what was real and what wasn't. So somebody got into that event like they do these other ones, and they put something that throws off what really took place. So we always have to look carefully, especially when there's an event and there's immediately a knee-jerk reaction to start talking about the need for some sort of an agenda, gun control. Somebody shoots and instantly there needs to be gun control. That's got to be one of the craziest things. It's not really well thought out. Because if you can convince me that bad people, the bad guys, are the ones who are going to legally turn in their guns in the legal manner, if you can convince me that that's going to happen, then I could say, okay, then we don't need to have the guns. But I'm pretty certain that bad guys aren't going to turn in their guns. As a matter of fact, I know that Hollywood knows this because they make movies all the time about bad guys. And the one thing the bad guys never do in the movies that are written by Hollywood liberals is they don't give up their weapons. They don't get their weapons legally. They do bad, illegal things. But Hollywood has a tendency to write stories glorifying these types of characters as if that kind of behavior is good and is acceptable behavior. It isn't. But nonetheless, Hollywood does know. So they can't pretend that they think bad guys are going to turn their guns, because they know they're not. They're just following an agenda. Somebody gave them an agenda. They're pushing that agenda for whatever reason. Who knows? There's all sorts of strange things that happen and cause people to say and do what they say and do. All right, switching gears over to the Jeffrey Epstein case, we have a strange situation where a person is missing, millionaire model agency boss, close friend to Jeffrey Epstein, who thought to have information on him. Well, now he's disappeared. So Jeffrey Epstein once allegedly had three 12-year-old girls flown in from France, delivered to him as a birthday present, a former sex slave says in a newly released court document. The allegations by Joseph Curl are contained in more than 2,000 pages of a 2005 suit brought by Virginia Guffrey, who claimed she was forced to become a sex slave for the psychotic billionaire. These documents were released August 9th, just hours before Epstein allegedly committed suicide. According to Jeffrey, Guffrey, the three young girls from poor families were flown in, molested by Epstein. The French girls worked from MC2, modeling agency owned by Jean-Luc Brunel, a longtime acquaintance and frequent guest of Epstein's. So apparently, person's missing. It says Jean-Luc Brunel has vanished as police seek to ask the Frenchman urgent questions about the pedophile. Investigators are making inquiries in Brazil, the U.S., and Europe, and French prosecutors are also pursuing claims relating to the financier who died aged 66 before it could face the latest allegations. All right, so more bizarre information is taking place with that case there. Here's a case just showing how big the child trafficking problem is. Jeffrey Epstein is just one piece of the puzzle, as was Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood, a piece of the puzzle. Here we have story of the world's largest child sacrifice site discovered in Peru. Experts believe they have found the burial site of the largest child sacrifice ritual ever recorded. The skeletons of 227 children who were all slaughtered at the same time have been uncovered in a mass grave on the north coast of Peru. Archaeologists believe the kids born in the Chimú Empire were sacrificed in a ritual to stop disasters linked to the El Niño phenomenon. The youngsters between 4 and 14 are understood to have been brutally killed up to 1,400 years ago. Some still have skin and hair. Some were found to have been wearing silver earmuffs. The religious leaders who carried out the killings were part of the Chimú Empire, a powerful society that predates the Incans. Archaeologists found that the mass slaughter site at the Pampa La Cruz sector in Juan Chaco, a coastal municipality of Trujillo, north of Lima, we are the largest place where remains of sacrificed children have been found. There is no other in the world. They talked about it. It's thought the youngsters were sacrificed to appease God and stop bad weather. Okay, so there's something just to consider. They said two cases, that one to stop bad weather, and the other case was to stop diseases or disasters related to El Nino. Well, here we are in 2019. We have the Democrat Party pushing very hard to want to take drastic measures to stop bad weather, to stop incidents that they think they have control of. And we can look back 1,400 years ago, they see that somebody else is trying that same idea. I don't think it worked. Don't think it worked then. Don't think it's going to work now. James Comey seemed to have gotten off the hook to some degree or another, at least according to the way the media is reporting him and the way that he is responding. The Office of Inspector General came out with a report on him. Got the link available so you can check that out if you already haven't. But I know there's a lot of disappointment because he didn't get called to the carpet like many thought he would. And then he went out and decided to be arrogant and make some comments as if he is owed an apology. However, I don't think, my personal opinion, that this is over with James Comey, because there was a lot of talk about these FISA documents and how that they were all illegal. As a matter of fact, last week, I think I played the clip or provided the link of the clip of Joe DeGenova saying that the investigation by the Inspector General had been done, and it was determined that the FISA documents were all illegal, the way that they were obtained, and none of that was discussed in this matter with James Comey. Just a matter of, did he leak this information or not? They obviously decided this wasn't going to be a strong case going forward. They have something much stronger to deal with, and that would seem to be the case, at least to me. Here's an article over at The Hill. The worst is still to come for James Comey. Okay, 6'8", fired FBI Director James Comey moves through life like a shark's fin, well above the water level set by the rest of us. This brings attention, which he appears to enjoy, perhaps even crave. He has become a public performer over the past 3 years, cultivating and disarming an aw shucks, lordy persona while covering his damaging actions with milky platitudes. Department of Justice Inspector General just fired the first three cruise missiles trained on Mr. Comey with devastating impact. Comey's reaction, feel free to apologize to me. Rush into victim land is a common strategy for cornered. Another is staking out the imagined noble duty to a contrived higher authority. One looks strikingly similar to the image he sees in the mirror each morning. But here in the real world, this is what the Inspector General has confirmed. James Comey, as FBI director, created and maintained a separate record system that he kept in a desk drawer. He also took most of those official records home. If that wasn't enough recklessness, he leaked some of those records to the press after he was fired. To Comey, all of this is justified because some hero has to rise up and stand in the breach, but the IG methodically listed numerous policies Comey violated, policies carefully designed over time to prevent the abuse of authority by those who self-craft and a higher loyalty in their minds, thereby exempting himself from the rules. Comey was no hero. He was nothing more than an executive vigilante. Creating a separate record system in the FBI is a mortal sin, and with good reason. Every newly minted agent at Quantico learns this is part of the FBI 101. Anytime an FBI agent, to include the director, collects information in an official capacity, that information must be documented, associated with a case file number entered into the FBI's case management system. Comey never did that. In fact, his now infamous memos weren't entered into the official FBI system until after he was fired. Having one system of record ensures that all the information collected by the FBI is searchable, discoverable, and transparently linked to the authorities that allow the collection. A separate hidden record system gives rise to suspicions and disrupts the economy of trust that the FBI has worked hard to maintain with the American people. Comey is quoted extensively in the IG report and appears nonchalant in his disregard for such rules. He asserts a theory of personal property over the memos he wrote that the IG easily swats aside in its shallow absurdity. It's a lengthy article, but I'm going to leave it for you. Finish on there because you understand the point. We're now waiting to see what the next step is with this and when it's going to get into the FISA documents. Now, just to show how far back this goes, here's an article from Breitbart. It's dated January 11, 2016. Title, Loretta Lynch will position DOJ to do Obama's work long after we're gone. Okay, and that's the problem that we're seeing in this day and age. It says, the latest evidence, Attorney General Loretta Lynch told Newsweek magazine that my goal is to position the Department of Justice where it will carry on in all of these issues long after myself and my team have moved on. Okay, people wonder about the deep state. Well, there's examples of the deep state right there. But got a link up on the site today, stories for today. This is a Marine who is out there guarding the border, and this is overseas. And he's talking, he's asked the question of what it's like to be with people over there. And he gives a very, very clear picture. It's a minute and a half long video. Very clear picture that these people hate America. They hate America with a passion, and they will pretend and be nice to him, he said, because he's armed as he's walking through the area. But if he is unarmed, he's treated like any other non-Muslim as an infidel, and they will lie, cheat, steal, whatever. And it's very important that we as Americans understand this. I'm really, you know, baffled, I guess is a good word, that I still see people responding on the Twitter as if they're so blind to the fact that this happens. I'm just so I don't understand it. Grown adults don't understand how conquest has occurred. And they always wonder, well, America's done this. Well, yeah, America has done things. Everybody's done something, okay? No country, no civilization, no race of people here on the planet at this time is innocent. Everybody's done something to screw something up. What we're trying to do is get to a point where we're not screwing things up so badly, where we're actually starting to do better. And the reason we've screwed up so many things is because we are not operating with the right information. And because we have a system in place that misinforms people, the weakest and most vulnerable part of the human body, the brain, is affected. And these young people are growing up in a world affected by things, being indoctrinated in school systems while their parents are completely clueless to what's going on. So these kids are having to fight tooth and nail to go into the world. It's not the same as it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. If you are a kid that was born into the world after the year 2000, the world's completely different than those who came before them. Completely different. Because the systems in place no longer teach some of the history that used to be taught. And so that is lost history unless there are those out there trying to remind people about them, continuing to tell the stories. That's why it's so important to share and pass on this information from generation to generation. Otherwise, it gets lost. We forget. We make good decisions because we remember and we have good information. We make bad decisions when we have bad information. We're fighting right now for the information. And one of that part of that information is about the invaders coming into our country. Okay, it's like you're a computer getting infected with viruses little by little and just denying, oh, there's nothing there. I don't need to get a virus cleaner. I don't need to check. My computer happens to everybody. Okay, our country, people want to come here, and people inside America want to cheat America. You think people coming in from the outside might not feel the same way? Of course some of them do. Not everybody, but some of them. Here's a link to a site, Trump Wall, it's a compilation, and it's a graphic here so you can see the Trump Wall that's being built, how long it is, what's been built, what still needs to be built. Pretty cool little graphic here, and you can check it out. It's trumpwall.construction. All right. Miles built, 89. Miles to be built, 226 plus. Very good. Very good. All right. And I'm going to close things out here for the next 10 minutes. Talking about Admiral Byrd. Came across this diary, story about the Admiral Byrd diary, and I think I could probably knock this out in a short little while here. Starts off saying, several years ago, a friend of mine of an organization in Missouri that purportedly was selling a diary of Admiral Byrd's exploration to the North Pole, so I sent in an order to receive a copy of the book. It was a small booklet, but quite interesting. I do not know if this address is still good, but fortunately, someone posted the entire book, minus the pictures, on the internet. And John Lampriek, who printed this from the Hollow Earth list, for those of you who may want your own copyright to, there's a link here, an address here to the Hollow Earth Society. This is an incredible tale. I felt that the essence of the story was truthful and gives the readers a good idea of what the people in the Inner Earth could be like, so read on. All right, then it says, thanks for this. It'll be nice for those who haven't read this little book. It does have a suspicious origin, but it makes for interesting reading. Thanks, Jan. All right, this is a request to anyone out there. If any of you heard of a book called The Secret Diary of Admiral Byrd, then please tell me where you got it. I heard that it's about the Inner Earth. It's supposed to be about an Arctic expedition. If you've read anything about it, then you'll know that Admiral Byrd was sent by President Hoover to examine the potential of mining the Arctic poles for uranium. If any of you have this in file, please give me your address. All right, here we go. Yesterday, I received the diary of the Admiral Byrd's flight over the North Pole. After reviewing the copy of his diary, I noticed there was no copy right on it. I decided to share this with others. The following documentation should find a striking example of dire devotion, especially when one considers that this log diary was written in the year 1947 in the month of February and March, under circumstances that eventually defy the imagination and credibility for those times as others. Here is dealt with the evidence, answers the origin of the so-called UFOs, as well as Hollow Earth, or the, as the Admiral described, the land beyond the poles. The reader will relive that period as he reads this document. To say it is fascinating is to place it mildly, but to read it now for yourself, I know that you will conclude, in the Admiral's own words, just as the long night of the Arctic ends, the brilliant sunshine of truth shall come forth again, and those who are in darkness shall fall in its light. Here we go. Starting off March 1947, the exploration flight over the North Pole, Inner Earth, my secret diary. I must write this diary in secrecy and obscurity. Concerned my Arctic flight of the 19th day of February in the year of 1947, there comes a time when the rationality of men must fade into insignificance and one must accept the inevitability of the truth. I'm not at liberty to disclose the following documentation at this writing. Perhaps it shall never see the light of public scrutiny, but I do my duty and record it here for all to read one day. In a world of greed and exploitation of certain of mankind, can no longer suppress that which is truth. Flight log, base camp, 2/19/47. 600 hours, preparations are complete for the flight. Northward, we are airborne with fuel tanks at 6/10 hours. 6/20 hours, fuel mixture on the starboard engine seems too rich. Adjustments made, Pritt and Latins are running. All right, it continues to go down, showing, then he gets here, 19:10 or 091 hours, vast ice and snow below, no coloration of yellowish nature and dispersed into a linear pattern, alternating course for a better examination of this color pattern below, note reddish or purple color also, circle this area two full times, return to assigned compass heading, position check made again to base camp and relaying information concerning colorations in the ice and snow below. Shortly after that, both magnetic and gyro compasses begin to gyrate and wobble, unable to hold their heading by instrumentation. Take bearing with sun compass, yet it all seems well. The controls are seemingly slow to respond and have sluggish quality. and they notice a mountain in the distance. They cross over the mountain. The navigation instruments are spinning. Here at 10:05, I alter altitude of 1,400 feet, execute a sharp left turn to better examine the sun below. It is green with either moss or a type of tight-knit grass. The light there seems different. I cannot see the sun anymore. We make another left turn. We spot what seems to be a large animal of some kind below. Appears to be an elephant. No, it looks more like a mammoth. This is incredible, yet there it is. Decrease altitude to 10,000 feet. Take our binoculars to better examine the animal. It is confirmed. It is definitely a mammal-like animal. Report this to base camp. Then the radio stops working. They continue on. Countryside below is more level and normal. Ahead, we spot what seems to be a city. This is impossible. Aircraft seem light and oddly buoyant. Controls refuse to respond. My God. Off our port and starboard wings are strange type of aircraft closing rapidly alongside. Dish-shaped and have a radiant quality to them. Close enough to see their markings on them. It's a type of swastika. This is fantastic. Where are we? What has happened? I tug at the controls again. They will not respond. We are caught in an invisible vice grip of some type. A radio crackles. We hear it comes through English, a voice in a slight Nordic or Germanic accent. The message is, welcome, Admiral, to our domain. We shall land you in exactly 7 minutes. Relax, Admiral. You are in good hands. I note the engines of our plane have stopped running. The aircraft is under some strange control and is now turning itself. Controls are useless. So they go through the point of flying the plane. Says they land the plane. The radio man and I are taken from the aircraft, received in the most cordial manner. We are then boarded on a small platform-like conveyance with the wheels. It moves us towards the glowing city with great swiftness. As we approach the city, we seem to be made of crystal material. Soon we arrive at a large building. It is a type I have never seen before. It appears to be right out of the design board of Frank Lloyd Wright, or perhaps more correctly out of the Buck Rogers setting. We are given some type of warm beverage which tasted like nothing I've ever savored before. It's delicious. After about 10 minutes, two of our wondrous appearing hosts come to the porters and announce that I am to accompany them. I have no choice but to comply. I leave my radio man behind. We walk a short distance that I am to accompany them to what seems to be an elevator. We descend downward for some moments. The machine stops. Door looks silently upward. And then we proceed down a long hallway that is lit. A rose-colored light that seems to be emanating from the very walls themselves. One of the beings motions for us to stop before a great door. Over the door is the inscription that I cannot read. The great door slides noiselessly open, and I beckon to enter. One of my hosts speaks, "Have no fear, Admiral. You have an audience with the Master." I step inside. My eyes adjust to the beautiful coloration that seems to be filling the room completely. Then I begin to see my surroundings. What greets my eyes is the most beautiful sight of my entire existence. In fact, too beautiful and wondrous to describe. Exquisite, delicate. I do not think there exists a human term that can describe it in any detail with injustice. My thoughts are interrupted in a cordial manner by a warm, rich voice of melodious quality. I bid you welcome to my our domain, Admiral. I see a man with delicate features, and after etching of years upon his face, he is seated at a long table, motions for me to sit down in one of the chairs. After my sit together, smiles, he speaks softly again and conveys the following. All right, I'm going to leave the rest for you, so you can check that out. But very interesting story indeed. Much more going on in this world, this earth, than what we know about. And so I hope that you take a look at this further, read the rest of what is here. I'm sure you will find it equally as fascinating as I do. We'll see how it unfolds. And, this isn't the story that you learned when you were growing up, is it? Never really heard much about the North Pole other than Santa Claus is up there. But maybe there's something much more to this story, and Admiral Byrd knows a bit more of the truth. That's it for First Contact Radio today. I'll be back with more news and information. Until then, have yourself an awesome day. Keep seeking the truth, because the truth is out there. Talk to you soon. God bless. Peace. I'm out of here.